Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us on a Friday for another devotional here from the study. Over the last number of weeks, we've been thinking about the Word of God. Somebody asked me a while ago, would I maybe do a few recordings about why we believe the Bible is the Word of God, why we can trust the Bible. We've looked at several reasons already. The Bible claims to be the Word of God hundreds of times. And at the same time, there's a lovely sense of unity and consistency in the Bible, 40 different authors, 1500 years, 66 different books, and yet there's a wonderful unity and consistency of purpose and of theme. Jesus Christ, furthermore, set his divine seal of approval upon the Old Testament scriptures and verified all of the accounts that are often questioned by critics today. And then there's all of the great historical facts that archaeologists have found over the last 100 or 200 years, many of which verify accounts of scripture that have been called into question, Jonah and Daniel and Babylon and so on and so forth. Today's is a big subject. We'll only touch a few issues, but I want to look at some of the scientific reasons why we believe the Bible is the Word of God. Many people now tout science as being the reason to dispel the myth of God, as they call it, or the fallacy of trusting in the Bible. And science, so-called, has become a new god for many. And yet, whenever we think about so many provable scientific facts, not scientific theory, but observable scientific realities, we find that the Bible was years ahead, generations ahead, centuries ahead of the scientists, and scientists are really only catching up with the Bible. For many years, people thought the earth was supported. There was something underneath it. They thought the earth was flat. You know the stories. They used to believe the earth was flat. Men like Christopher Columbus and Captain Cook felt if they sailed far enough, they would fall off the end of the earth because it was flat. And there was something propping the earth up, and the earth was the center of the universe and the center of the solar system, and the sun revolved around the earth and so on and so forth. But of course, in recent years, they have discovered that the earth is a globe. It hangs in space and the earth circulates around the sun. And yet, if we had read the Bible, we would have discovered that the book of Job, chapter 26 and verse 7 says, "He hangeth the earth upon nothing." And if we had read in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse number 22, we would have learned that the earth is a globe, the earth is a circle. So the Bible was right, but the scholars were wrong. The Bible was right, and the scientists now are only catching up. Now, why would Job speak about him hanging the earth upon nothing? And why would Isaiah speak about the circle of the earth whenever the generally accepted theories of the days was that the earth was flat and it was sitting on top of something, and there was nothing, there was something solid rather underneath it? Then the science of rainfall, evaporation, and precipitation, that's found in the scriptures as well, long before science was able to discern it and describe it and lay it out. It's found in Job chapter 36, 27 through 29, Ecclesiastes 1:7, and Ecclesiastes 11:3. Read the verses for yourself, and you'll discover that the science of rainfall was in the Bible long before the scientists had discovered it. The first and second laws of thermodynamics are also biblical. The law of energy conservation, that energy does not create itself. Energy has a beginning, and that beginning is God. God set the universe in motion. And then the second law of thermodynamics is the law of energy decay. And we see that the Bible is very, very clear about this, that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain right up until this present time. And things are waxing worse and worse, and things tend to decay. And there's a law of sin in the world, and there's death, and there's the curse. And this is seen in the laws of thermodynamics. Quite interesting. Then some people might say, well, why are dinosaurs not mentioned in the Bible? Well, the reason the word dinosaur is not in the Bible is because the word dinosaur is a relatively new word. And it came into being after the Bible was completed. But the reality is that dinosaurs, are in the Bible. The word dinosaur isn't, but the beasts that the word dinosaur uses to describe are in the Bible. Read the book of Job, Job 41, verse 1. Read Psalm 104, 25 and 26. Read Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 1, and you'll read there about a large creature called Leviathan. And whenever you read of its description, there's nothing in the world like it today. And it fits into the description of some of the dinosaurs. Read Job 40, 15 through to 24, and you'll read about another great beast called Behemoth. And certainly there's nothing like that beast in our world today. It fits the description of the modern usage of the word dinosaur. So what I'm saying is, read the Bible before you condemn it. And then modern science testifies to the biblical account of man. We know a lot today about cells. But the Bible in 1 Corinthians 15:39 talks about the seed of the human body. And a distinction was made even there. That really speaks of DNA. The Bible's very clear about the chemistry of the blood. Leviticus 17:11 says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And scientists, after that was written, discovered that yes, the principle of life is in the blood. And it's the blood that preserves the body. It's the blood that feeds the organs. It's the blood that deals with infection. And yet the Bible said things like this many, many years ago. The law of quarantine can be found in Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 15 speaks about washing hands under running water to prevent infection. And it wasn't until long after that that doctors and surgeons began rigidly to wash their hands under running water, not in a bowl, to reduce contamination. Then with the breeding of animals as well. For pure breeds, men have found breeding should be kept to the same kind. And yet the Bible said that in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 19. And then science also testifies to the biblical teaching about space. For many, many years, people thought that you could number the stars. For example, one astronomer, Ptolemy his name was, said that there was 1,056 stars. And then a man called Tycho Brahe said there were 777. Another scientist called Keffer said there was 1,005. Conservative estimates in the early 20th century said there was something like 100 billion. And now we believe that there are even more than that. So there's always a change with science trying to tell the number of stars. But the Bible says in Jeremiah 33 and Psalm 147 verse 4 that the stars are innumerable. So there's all of these wonderful proofs that testify to the scientific accuracy of Scripture. Sorry I couldn't just look straight into the camera and give you these facts and figures. I had to have them written down. But there you have it. Search the Scriptures. Study the chemistry of the blood. Think about the earth being a globe. Think about the science of rainfall, the laws of thermodynamics, quarantine, washing, the breeding of animals, and the stars and the dinosaurs, and you'll find that the Word of God, wind currents, it's all there in Scripture. Why do I believe the Bible claims to be the Word of God? It's historically accurate. It's scientifically accurate. Christ verified the Scriptures, and there's a wonderful unity in the Scriptures. God bless you. Thank you for joining us.